She wouldn't have anything to belittle it with. So we need, this is why the French Connection's message has been clear and why it's effective. It would, because you've been telling people now, stick to the facts, don't hypothesise. If you're asked for a hypothesis, say there's lots of things that may have happened. I wasn't on the inside of it.
Well, what we've, then give them a list of what's been proven. What, you know, what happened that day without debate? Again, the dancing Israelis. Again, the truck being stopped on the George Washington Bridge with bomb residue in it from the moving company. Or the fact that the owner of that moving company had to hightail it to Israel, and lo and behold, he's back in America again down in Miami. Or the fact that Muhammad Atta was being wined and dined on Abramoff's gambling boat off the coast of Florida.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. I mean, come on. These are all, these aren't speculations or my theories. These are facts. So, the facts alone, you can go down the list of facts and you just can't even believe it when you find out that that nobody talks about the facts. They talk about a ray weapon from space, or they talk about some nonsense that doesn't matter. Or when you get to the Pentagon, you really want to retch. You know, I mean, it's so bad. But now, listen, Mohammed. What's the upshot of all this stuff? They're gonna try to keep us debating until they attempt a martial law setting in America, at least. Now, whether or not Europe is gonna respond in a violent or negative way in their streets to what happens in America is gonna depend on whether they can sell the idea that terrorism is real. Now, see, what they're trying to do right now is to set up an event of terrorism that is not real, false flag, that gives them the right to shut down people's discourse, to shut down people's investigating, to shut down people's travel. And they're going to use this as a pretext to start visiting my home or your home or other people's homes. And all of a sudden, instead of my website disappearing, I disappear. The fact is, you know, this is all coming to a head because if they don't act, they're going to go down in flames. And there's no place on earth that I won't hunt them. I will hunt them down no matter where they go if they try to leave this continent or any continent with their ill-gotten gain. And so the fact is, they know they've got to stand. They got to draw the line and fight. And the fight's going to get nasty, and it's going to be behind one of these false flag terrorist attacks. And of course, they're trying to ramp up the vitriol for that right now, Mohammed. And they're going to try to blame it on Pakistan. Or now, do you know? Here's the new one. There's a new group of white Al Qaeda that are going to attack Europe. This is the new crap that's coming in on the Israeli. I think it was Haaretz or the YZ Net or something. It's an Israeli website. White Al-Qaeda Europeans being trained by Al-Qaeda to attack. I wonder if they've got my name on that list already.
Well, they had a rather interesting article the other day. It's so ridiculous that I'm amazed that anybody could even put it to paper. But it was on the front page of the BBC's website where they were saying that there was an English convert to Islam, a similar kind of idea to myself, who was in jail in the UK and was actually trying to win people over, convert people to Islam and get them to join the Al-Qaeda mission from a UK jail. And I'm just thinking that, you know, how on earth are people in jail in the UK? I mean, this is as laughable as Osama bin Laden running 9/11 from a cave somewhere in Afghanistan with a couple of mobile phones. The next new threat to downtown Manhattan is some guy sat in a jail in the UK who've all become radicalized. It's like, well, you know, they've got to get out of jail first, then they'll be on parole, then they'll be under license, they won't be able to fly anywhere for maybe 5 or 10 years, depending on the severity of their crime. If they commit a crime, they'll lose. These people get tagged when they leave. I mean, the idea that an English jail has become the latest recruiting outpost for the CIA's phony Al-Qaeda is just absolutely ridiculous. And how anybody could be frightened by people in jail converting to Islam is just pathetic, Darryl.
Well, what it is, first, it's racism.
Yeah.
And but more than that, Mohammed, It stinks of desperation. And you know, when you trap a, when you corner a rat, I've been in a barn where there was a rather large rat running around the barn, and I'll tell you, I wanted the bar, this thing out. So I got a broom, and I'm going after this thing to get him out. I don't want him in the barn with me. Well, I go toward this little creature, and I start sweeping at him to get him out, and instead of running for the door, he runs at me. Now, this is indicative of what rats do when they're trapped, Muhammad.
Yeah.
They strike at you. And they don't, these people don't have a prayer to win this fight of information. They're losing hands down. It's getting worse for them every day. The Jews that are involved in this at the very top, who proclaim this Zionist sickness, are outed. They've been outed. They've been told on. And their attempt to quash or destroy that message is not working. In fact, their own organs of disinformation are having to say that Jewish supremacists are involved in this conspiracy just to retain their credibility. They're having to sign on to the truth, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have a prayer of state. Now, I've got a good example for you. They got this Jewish kid who did Loose Change. His name's Burmis. He wasn't the original filmmaker. He came in after. I'm sure he's a Herzliya graduate, or he's came from the Salem University of Criminal Zionism. But he's a very gifted, very articulate young man, who, of course, minimizes or eliminates Israeli or Jewish participation in this crime. And he works on, he's doing a sit-in, he's sitting in for Alex Jones for the whole week. And he's the guy that did the Loose Change. Now, when you watch Loose Change and then you watch 9/11 Mysteries, you can't even believe the lies that come out of this Loose Change thing. And then when you know darn well that the Israelis were involved in 9/11 and the rest of this criminal nonsense since Herzl's declaration and before, that you know this guy is there as a disinformation force. You know it. It's not a question of is he maybe. It's absolutely sure he is. And yet he's still the most popular film ever put out on the subject. So in some ways, we're still battling these guys' criminal lie machine, Muhammad. We're not winning on every front. We've got to do better. We can do better.
Well, the thing is that the fact that we've now got the Financial Times being forced to deal with the subject, and the mainstream media being forced to deal with the subject. And what's interesting, Darryl, is their management of it, their acceptance of some of the facts, and then trying to ridicule them so that people can bury their heads in a ridicule in the second half, the pod people theories or whatever. That is the mechanism that you told people, stay away from this because this is how they'll cover it up. This is the MO of Rents. This is the MO of Prison Planet and this Jones character.
Yep.
This is their MO, which is to try and take some of the truth and then right at the end ruin it by putting stuff there that other people can look at and say, oh, well, I went to the Rent site. Although it looked quite convincing, some of the stuff he was saying about crop circles or some of the stuff he was saying about Sasquatch, I have to put it in the same bin as the 9/11 stuff. The fact of the matter is that the mainstream media are having to deal with the subject, and they're just going to the shill information and repeating the shill information. So if anybody out there wants to understand the PSYOP's control on this that people like to talk about, just look for the facts, as Darryl was describing earlier, and we briefly touched on some of those important facts, and then how these people then mix that with nonsense. So the average guy in the street, he looks at some facts that will disturb him, but then right at the end, there's all this, yeah, but hang on a minute, this doesn't make sense. You know, people with holograms and all this, that, and it doesn't add up, you know. So that means that he's now faced the truth, but seen that these people, and it's not the facts now, we're back to the credibility of the group. We're back on credibility, and the credibility of a group is undermined by mixing some nonsense there and saying, well, these guys might be right about that, but they're nuts on this. So because they're half right and half nuts, I can't take them seriously. Ladies and gentlemen out there, we need to keep the pressure on. for a clean message, because this message is making it through to the mainstream media. We're pressurizing them. We're telling them, you will be the first against the wall and shot. You are the big enemy. You are the reason now that the man in the street doesn't know the facts is because of you. And their response to our pressure on that, Darrell, has been, okay, let's give them the usual half-truth and mix it with some nonsense. We've got to get the clean message out there.
Well, we are, and you know, I keep doing these files in the hopes that we're going to avert, at least before this stuff all comes to pass, this financial mess that we've visited so often comes to pass, that there's enough people out there who are carrying the banner of truth. When they're starting to peck for food on the ground, the truth won't get lost in the wash there. It'll stay alive. Because there's going to be a period of tumult and problems here that people are going to have to take their attention away from other things just to, ground themselves in a survival mode in some way. I mean, you know, Mohammed, if the financial system begins to melt down as many people are predicting, and I happen to think, and I'm one of them, you know, you're going to be hard-pressed to get a meal, let alone be fighting for a 9/11 truth or for a Zionist elimination or any of these other things. We've got to keep the message alive and strong, and it has to permeate deep enough into the psyche of people that regardless of what kind of hardships... Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for the interruption here. Of course... We were just held up here with our programming. My phone went completely dead for almost 7 minutes. And when I picked it up after, I hung it up for 2 minutes and picked it up again, it was still out. Mohammed was cut off from me. In fact, I this is one of the biggest cutoffs I've had. Actually, that's not true. I've been cut off like this on at least 3 or 4 other occasions. One of them when I was a call-in guest arguing with a guy named Moonman on the Islamic Channel, which is a completely fraudulent network in Britain. It's a lie machine against the truth, and it tells lies to the Arab community and the Islamic community in Britain. But anyway, Mohammed, you know, let's go back to this. Again, you know, what we're trying to say here is that that we're not stopping. The fact is that people of 9/11 aren't going to stop. People that are telling the truth about world criminal Zionism, and if you've ever had the chance to read Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, once people have turned themselves on to these facts over time, and I use that term a lot, over time, but this is really where it's apropos here, because he goes back all the way to 1700s and 1800s, and brings you from the inception to the present day of this conspiracy. And it's an unbroken timeline that absolutely is devastating if you read the book. It's not a narrative book. It's a timeline of devastating exposure. Simple fact is, Mohammed, once you're done with it, you know who your enemy is. You can't even argue it. It's not even something that you can even bring up and say, maybe they're not involved. When you're done reading that book, it's a slam dunk that it's the Zionist Jews behind it.
It's a brilliant piece of research that he's done, undoubtedly, and it's been so helpful for everybody out there to see it in timeline, to see it in that format. Like you say, Darrell, it becomes a slam dunk case. It's unarguable.
Yep.
It's very helpful for us that he's taken these things that people have been experts on elements of. You know, somebody's good at the 17th century, somebody's good at the 18th century, somebody's good at the 19th century. But to put it all together in a single place like that is extraordinarily helpful.
Well, it has been. Now, here's the problem. See, the 9/11 truth is only the opening first door to getting these people out of our lives. I mean, this is one of their operations. I mean, let's go back to Abu Nidal and the 72 Olympics. You were around then. You know, they murdered wholesale, Jews wholesale. They killed this guy Klinghoffer on the Kilauea, and then blamed it on, you know, on this crazy anti-Jewish, you know, criminal, Abu Nidal. Now it comes out, of course, evidence is pretty clear. Abu Nidal had been the whole time working as a Mossad agent, doing these things to stir up hatred against the Arabs and sympathy for Zionist Judaism, and give the Israelis an excuse to go out and abuse populations and abuse people and deflect criticism. Now, this is not a new tactic. Of course, Levant affair. Of course, the USS Cole. I mean, we've got so many of them, and what they've done in Iraq. We know these sniper weapons with video cameras on them didn't come from some guy in Iraq. This is an Israeli system. There's so many proofs out here about what they're doing, and the fact is that as soon as people latch on to the facts, you can't believe they live, Muhammad. You see it everywhere. I can't turn on TV and find out Kevin Costner's a Jew and Sylvester Stallone and Robin Williams, and I mean you go down the list and it's every single person in Hollywood. Then you start on the French actors, all of them. Then you start on the British actors, it's all of them. You can't believe it. All the musicians, all of the directors, all of the bankers, all of the big company owners, and you go down the list, and when somebody tells you this and you see it for the first time yourself, you're dumbstruck. You're just struck, unable to speak. That's how powerful it is. The fact is, it's real, and it's not my musings. These are facts. We've got a crap storm ahead of us. We've got a realization to make here, Muhammad, to stop these people. And you know, the French Connection, being a truth-telling organization and a freedom-fighting organization and a political movement, is not going to do it alone. We can't do it alone. Now, these guys on Wake Up From Your Slumber went into my archives, found a couple of Pidcock interviews I did on the Sabbateans. I told you right before we started here. There is so much information on this website, 3 gigabytes of information, Muhammad. All of it well done, all of it. I have to say, all of it well done. Well, what's your take?
There's a very high standard of information in the archives. We've covered a lot of important subjects. We did prioritize the money thing quite a bit this year because it is one of these watershed moments in the history of mankind.
Yep.
That's why we've had to try and educate people as best we can, because it is going to be a real watershed.
Yep.
But the other issues, just coming back to what you're saying, Darrell, the 9/11 thing, the creation of this monetary system which is collapsing around them, these are just two of the things that these people have done. The manipulation of the gold price, the making gold mine owners in the world beg to them and give them brown paper envelopes stuffed with cash in order to allow their share prices to rise. All of these, we find the same group of a small group of people, sadly, behind all of it. And we now say this has got to go mainstream in the mainstream media. Their last-ditch attempt now is controlling this message in the mainstream media.
Do you know how many Jews there are per 1,000 people in the world?
It's a very small percentage, isn't it, Darrell? Is it 1 in 5,000 or something?
No, it's 2.5 per 1,000. 2.5 Jews per 1,000 people. Now, how the heck did they end up at 80% of George Bush's administration, 95% of the Federal Reserve, 95% of the major banking institutions, 100% of the media, 90% of the drug companies, 90% of the agribusinesses? How do you justify these facts and then look at them being 2.5 per 1,000?
Yeah, this is per 10,000 or whatever. It really doesn't matter. I mean, if they were 50%, we could statistically, you know, when you look at statistics, and as you're aware, Dal, my background ultimately is a mathematician.
Yeah.
If you look at statistically, the probability of if they were 50% of the population, if they were actually 80% representative somewhere, that would be statistically abnormal.
Yep.
To be a fraction of 1% and be 80% of anything is just statistically ridiculous.
It's laughable. And yeah. to think for in any instance that it's not a conspiracy, you got to be stupid. Now, anybody who thinks that has to be stupid. And I went to a pharmacy the other day, and the woman's complaining about how bad things are getting and all this. And I told her, I said, it's Zionist Judaism doing this to the world. She was appalled. And I said, well, look, lady, I said, everything is controlled by them. And I went down the list of French companies and French politicians, and she stood there dumbstruck. She couldn't believe the names I was naming. And I said, everything I've just told you is 100% unadulterated proof and absolute fact. And I turned around and walked out. I can't imagine the quakes she went through when I left. She must have been shaking as I left, because I got to tell you something, Mohammed. The people have never seen this information. They don't know that all their presenters on TV are Jewish. They don't know the station owners are Jewish. They don't know the network owners are Jewish. They don't know that the people who own the music business are Jewish. They don't know it. They don't know that all of the sports teams that are around Europe and America are owned by Jews.
They don't know that King Fahd and the ruling family of Saudi Arabia are converts to his Jewish converts to Islam of less than 100 years.
Or Osama bin Laden's mother was a Yemeni Jew. You can't make this stuff up. It's a shocker, and anybody who listens, Mohammed, you know, I'm so tired of the marginalized story that I'm trying to get out there. It should be in everyone's lips. It should be. Now, this is the time when people are most receptive to wanting to find out the truth, and they need to dig deeper. People need to show this information around. You know, if they need to use this file as a lead-in to the rest of the work, the work is spot on. If there's anything that's not correct, I've put an addendum in on the next file. I always admit when I made a mistake or I overestimated or I... You know, look, I'm a guy sitting here with a desk, a computer, and a good mind. The rest of it is just, you know, my determination, or in French, my volonté. The fact is, any of you out there listening to this, Mohammed, could put in a similar effort, put in your heart and soul into this fight, and see what results you can get.
Well, of course, one of the things that we've been on the truth is not just identifying the truth, but we've been steadfast with it. The message, as you've uncovered things, Darrell, and you've tested them and realized that maybe one thing was false and something else has turned out to be true, you have subsequently adhered to that truth for the last 2.5, 3 years, or whatever the period is since you identified what the truth is. This is something which all of your detractors now, whether it's from some of the detractors from on Wake Up From Your Slumber, whatever, they've all got to look at this and say, actually, you know, okay, Darrell, so what's the phrase they like to use in the States, flip-flopping? Oh, he seems to flip-flop from one thing to another, but actually, no, this is the whole point of a distillation process and a filtration process. There are disinformation people out there, and it's about finding out and sieving through all of the material out there to the points of truth. What has sifted through as fact, which bears the test of time, is all available on the French Connection. Sieved, ready format, served up, French, unpasteurized, ready for consumption. It's in the original flavored form here, and the whole point is that it tastes good. Maybe to start with, you're not used to the flavor, but the fact of the matter is, ultimately, the taste is good. It's the truth that sets you free. And even if you've just got the benefit of knowing what's really going on around you while everybody else doesn't, it's worth it for that alone.
Well, I've got one last thing to bring up here, and I want your comments on it. We're going to touch on a financial thing here. There's a website that has been very good at predicting information about the world. It's called the Global Europe Anticipation Bulletin, and it's well read and well respected for its accuracy. They put out the probabilities for the next 6 months, and it says, okay, in the next semester, indeed, all the components of a crisis, financial, monetary, economic, strategic, social, and political, will converge at the height of their intensity. Avoiding to repeat a description of various sequences already anticipated in previous editions of this newsletter, our researchers have decided to describe the trends that will be at work in the world's main regions in the next 6 months. Therefore, they analyzed 8 fundamental processes that will mark the next semester, only 6 months, ladies and gentlemen, and affect decisively the year 2009 and 10. A dollar in distress, The dollar will end up this year at 1.75 to the euro. Panic and fear in the U.S. currency and economic collapse eats into the American collective psyche. Global financial system, an impossible requirement placing Washington under international trusteeship, provokes a system break. European Union, the periphery sinks into a recession, and Europe zone slows down to a crawl. Asia, the double whammy, inflation, export collapse. Asia, Latin America, difficulties increase, growth remains in some parts. Mexico and Argentina fall into full crisis. Arab world, regimes go adrift. 60% risk of socio and political explosion in Egypt and Morocco. Iran, 70% probability of an attack by October. Banks and speculative bubbles collide. Now, Mohammed, these guys are, you know, they're not giving details, but man, on the general flow of things, they're not hitting, they're not missing anything.
It certainly sounds like they've got quite a few things there, but I think it's opened up a lot now, Dal. I think predicting this back last year when we were doing it, it was a bit harder.
In October, that's right.
Yeah, I think predicting it now, it's a bit of a fait accompli, as we like to say.
Yep.
It's clearly obvious where the trend is now, but we try to give people good advance warning and let people know, you know, to take the necessary steps to unload or take financial positions or whatever. Now, it is easy to predict what's going to happen because it's glaringly obvious to anybody who hasn't got their head buried in the sand. And I think that the one thing that they've got there is the issue of scale. We've tried to tell people it's not just bad, it's the scale of how bad it is.
Yeah.
We're looking at a tsunami equivalently from the financial front. The social implications of that are massive. Who will ride it out? Strangely enough, the subsistence economies, they won't notice any difference at all, will they, Galvin?
No, they won't. I mean, if you're digging your beans out of the ground, for a harvest and you know, walking your milk to the local market to sell it to neighbors and stuff, you're not going to be affected. But see, that's not where most Western people live. They live in big cities, and they're going to be clawing and fighting for each other's assets and supplies, it seems.
I'm quite concerned, you know, Daryl. I mean, I'm just beginning to understand the size and impact of crop damage in the United States, which is just coming out of Iowa at the moment. I mean, I just find the breadbasket of the United States has taken a real pasting this year, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And not only that, the Australian wheat harvest is down 11% because of a severe drought. Now, I'm going to have 100 people email me about weather control in both instances. And ladies and gentlemen, that may or may not be exactly accurate. It's immaterial to the result of what these things are going to do to the world. The fact of the matter is, if it was done intentionally, which I think the levees were blown in those areas intentionally on the Mississippi, and whether weather control was to blame for the Australian drought, who knows, or the tsunami was done intentionally. I mean, there's a million theories out there. Again, we don't need to get into a contest about whose theory is correct. The fact of the matter is that there is a perfect storm forming. The people that are going to benefit most from it are the ones who deal best in anarchy. And this group has a history of creating anarchy and then profiting from it. And you go to the synagogue of Satan and read about all of the instances of terrible calamity in the world, and who came out smelling like a rose at the end? It was this criminal gang. So don't think for a second they're not doing it again right now.
Oh, they're definitely taking advantage of disasters. This idea of what happened down in New Orleans, you know, Daryl, there is a lot of evidence to say that they did blow out levees to take advantage of the weather that came in. One of the things which is most telling, of course, is the behavior of the so-called emergency services. When we look at these terrible earthquakes which have struck China recently and the flooding and all the disaster which has come out of that, the army was shipped in straight away. People were there with tents. There were support operations immediately. There are no stories, you know, Daryl, of the Chinese army walking around with guns, telling people to remain in their streets, telling people to... I mean, these people were actually properly there to help in the disaster.
Yep.
because there is so much evidence to suggest that in New Orleans, the army actually prevented food from arriving, prevented people from having access to clean water.
And they shipped in Israeli mercenaries to confiscate guns and patrol rich neighborhoods.
Yeah, I mean, this conduct is so far from what is expected. And what we've seen in China is what people believe happened in America. But from the evidence on the ground, it's not the case. So we can definitely say now, without any reservation, that these people are certainly taking advantage of the weather situations, which are the terrible other types of calamities. They're clearly taking advantage and making them worse.
Well, here's the one that the last thing that we talked about, and we'll make it the end of this file because we've gone on quite a while here. The putting on America under financial trusteeship in the next 6 months. Now, that idea is a shocker to anybody who hears it, because everybody in the mainstream of America, all these yuppies running around still thinking that America's king, the country is bankrupt. But here's the news to everybody. It's been bankrupt for a couple of decades. What they've been doing is cheating the world through their position as a global currency. And now what's happening is that all the chickens are coming home to roost. All of that money that was put out there as a way of disguising their bankruptcy is now being repatriated to America and being what it really was in the beginning, was just toilet paper, ladies and gentlemen. And in fact, toilet paper is going to be far more valuable than a dollar bill come very, very soon. The point of the that statement is, hang on to your hats. The worst of this is yet to come, and you've been told this. If you don't already know this and you're a listener of the French Connection, you've got to have your head examined. We told you back in October all of the details they needed to know, Mohammed, about what was coming. And in fact, we've been proven to be right almost 100%. And I mean, all we've done is add color with our subsequent broadcast to the general conspiracy we described at the end of October last year.
Absolutely. We've just given fine detail on it and explained why it's come about and everything, our rationale in explaining why it came about, how it came about, what the mechanisms, although they hotly denied it for periods of time, the banks themselves and the central banks and the financial media has all come out and said, actually, that's the real cause over there. Everybody's talking about derivatives now. We were talking derivatives in December, Dal. And as for your statement on the dollar, of course it was overvalued, and this is, as you've hit the nail on the head, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Well, repatriating the tens of trillions that have been in foreign hands and in foreign bank accounts that everybody's panicking to unload right now. And then what you and I both know, when this coupon period comes due from last year's sell-off in the bond market before we had the serious implosion, they're all those coupons are coming due by September, and there's no way that any of them are going to get paid, so they're going to fall into default, which is just going to undermine the entire bond market. So bonds are terminated, lending is shrinking, they can't raise rates, they can't drop rates, they can't do a darn thing to stop this. It's here, it's now, it's coming, there's just no way to avoid it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mohammed and I have told you the truth. You're going to see this stuff in real time happening over the next 3 months. And by Christmas time, you're not even going to recognize the world that we have today. It's going to be an unrecognizable condition that you see by December. So hang on to your hats and get ready for it. You've been told. On the other stuff, tell other people about the French Connection's work. This work is so important that it get out to everybody. Become a progenerator of this information. Take it and put it on your own website. Change the address if you want. Don't put I Am the Witness if you feel like it. Just put whatever you want out there. It doesn't matter. It's the information that needs to be shared, not my name. I don't care if my name's on it or not, or my website. Fact is, my website may not be here in 3 months. So it's the info that we need, Mohammed. And this battle can be won. We can take these people out of our lives with an effort, a concerted effort of caring, righteous people. That's all we need to win. Righteous people who care about their lives and their world, we can defeat them. And, you know, look, Mohammed, you and I go on to these rants every time we get on the air here and do this and stuff, and people ask me, well, why don't you bring on a new guest? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Simple fact of the matter is we've told the story already. It's there. The archives, 3 gigabytes of information. Use them. They're a resource. Listen to them. Pidcock's great. Barry Turner's great. Our older stuff on Sabbatai Sea and the New Bohemians we talked about. And we talked about the Jabotinskys and, geez, we talked about so many subjects. It's a wealth of information in every single file. Take them back out. Put them everywhere. Change the name so you can slip them onto message boards. They may stay up there 3 days before someone recognizes it's a Daryl Bradford Smith file. If you put my name on the top of it, it'll be off within an hour. But watch out for your families, Mohammed. I mean, take care of the people you love, man. I mean, this is time to get close. I don't see this as an entirely negative thing. We've been driven away from the people we love by these criminals. Maybe they're going to drive us back together by their actions. What do you think?
I certainly hope that it does, and I hope it helps people get the strength of character and strength of purpose that they can assert their own identities and draw that line in the sand and say, no, I'm not taking any more. Where I am is what I am, and I'm not letting you push me any further.
Well, that will be the file for today. I'm very grateful for you to take this time on your Sunday to do this with me, Mohammed. Of course, we're going to be doing more if I'm still breathing, and I still got your phone number. And I'll be in touch with you tomorrow on other matters that we've got going. So let's stay in touch, and I'll talk to you soon.
All the best, Al.
Thanks, Mohammed. Ladies and gentlemen, take care of yourselves. Your family is the most important asset you have. Don't scrimp when it comes to preparing for them. You know, buy the foodstuffs that you need. Buy the stuff. If you only have the money to add 10 or 15% to that foodstuff this month, you know, maybe it's time for you to earmark some savings to these things. Because, frankly, if you take a look at the inflation rate right now, the cash you have is getting more and more undermined and less valuable as time goes on. And those food items that are going to be in short supply coming in the next 6 months to a year are going to be more and more expensive. So buy them now. Get them in your storage and prepare for what's on its way so that you can continue to fight this fight with me. So until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please be well. Bye-bye now. The